Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
I'm going to get theological this morning. I bet you didn't know you had a theologian in your midst. Kind of surprises me too. But I'm going to have to use some big words to do this. And I want you to hear those words. Try to keep up. It. Are you still with me? Is. Finished. What profound doctrine.
Yes, sir.
It is finished. That is some of the most profound doctrine that you will hear anywhere when given in this context. And with, if you would, turn with me to John 19. John 19. John 19, and I'll just read verses 29 and 30. John 19:29. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished."
Amen.
And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. This passage to me is like John 6 is to Job. This passage is one that God Almighty brought to me when He opened my eyes. These words will never be known without the power of God, Job.
Amen.
I was always consumed with doing, doing, doing. I thought it was within my power to do something to gain favor from God. Something I could or would do that God would then look on me graciously. I may have not thought about it exactly in that way, but I thought I had to do works to gain His favor in some way. God began to show me that I could do nothing but evil. The harder I tried to do right, the worse the sin became. It seemed everything I would put my hand to ended up in total iniquity before Him, and it was. Again, I did not think in things in terms like iniquity before God. I had very little knowledge of what the Scripture actually said, and I still have very little knowledge of what the Scripture says. But I do know more than when I first began, by His grace and mercy. There came a time when these words came to me by His Spirit, and the weight that was lifted off of me was one that brought, and still to this day brings me, great joy. I was all by myself at that time, in the car, but God was showing me His Son and what His Son did for me. So I want to go through these words as my outline, just to get a brief look at the depth of what they say, if God wills. Now, these three words are only one word in the Greek. It is finished. It's one Greek word. I just want to mention that. But we're going to go through these English words that we have translated for us. It, number one, is, number two, finished, number three. It, such a small word, but the vastness of what it covers is great. What was done here, as we have read in John 19, was done before any of the New Testament passages were even created. When our Lord referred to Scripture, He was referring to the Old Testament.
Yes.
So what is actually covered in this word, it, is covered in all of the Old Testament Scriptures. We obviously cannot cover all of the Old Testament Scriptures, because I don't have the ability, nor do we have the time for such an endeavor. So I want to just point out some of these things that are mentioned in the New Testament accounts of Christ and go look at some of the scriptures that talk about these things. And I'm talking about things that happened throughout Jesus Christ's life on this earth. We see in Isaiah 7:14, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." We have seen this before, and we know here. And if you don't, we read in the New Testament that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. See Matthew 1:23 for that. This one who was born of a virgin is that one spoken of in Genesis 49:10, where it says, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be." This one born who was given to us, and it is he that these passages spoke of, that would do these things, and not only do these things, but be who the scripture says he would be. Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given," Job, "and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Amen. This one who was born began to preach the gospel of peace to those on this earth. God himself proclaimed the word of God to people. Deuteronomy 18:15 says, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye will hearken." This all being confirmed in the New Testament, but I'm trying to show you that everything in the Old Testament pointed to Jesus Christ, that one who said these words, "It is finished." There are other things that happened during his time here on this earth that was spoken of in the Old Testament. Zechariah 9:9 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." We read this very thing in the New Testament. John 12:15 says, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king sitting on an ass's colt." This almighty sovereign God who was spoken of in Scripture in the Old Testament is that one who has now come, that one who came into Jerusalem riding on the ass's colt, and this same one now ascended. He is this one who spoke these words that we have read. "It is finished." But then we have in several different places where this same account is found. That is the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We also read of some other things that were fulfilled. You know, this is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke as well. There's one in Genesis we read, Genesis 3:15, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." This seed of the woman, this seed always spoken of in singular form, is referring to that one who was born of this virgin. Mary is what her name was called. A fallen simple woman bore the child Jesus Christ, God. But this seed is the one who was to come and now has come, who would bruise, or that is, to gape, and this gape being a deadly gape, one where the head of this enemy is cut off. Zechariah 11:12-13 says, "And I said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it into the potter, a goodly price that I was priced at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord." This we read in Matthew's account of this, Matthew 27:9. Then was fulfilled that was spoken of by Jeremy the prophet, saying, "And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value."
Yes.
My point to all this is Jesus Christ is fulfilling everything spoken of by God in the Old Testament of what he would do. At this time when Christ was betrayed, then some of these other things begin to happen. They beat him to where you could not even recognize who he was.
Yes.
Isaiah 52:14. "As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men."
Yes.
They made fun of our Lord as he was doing the will of the Father and was put to shame for us. Psalm 109:25 says, "I became also a reproach unto them. When they looked upon me, they shaked their heads." Like this.
Yeah, that's it.
What a joke. They were even making fun of our Lord and his garments. Matthew 27:35. "And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots." But then we get to the point where it is the pinnacle, if you will, of what he came to take some people's place for. Psalm 22:1, it says, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring?"
Yes.
But we read this also in Matthew 27:46. "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?"
Amen.
Forsaken of God. That's what I deserve.
Yes.
That's what you deserve. But we read right here that Jesus Christ, who if by grace took your place, is crying this in our stead. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? There's much more that we could go through to show from Scripture Jesus Christ fulfilling the will of the Father in all these things. We read especially as it concerns his crucifixion. But if you will, turn with me now to Psalm 69. Psalm 69. Psalm 69, and I'm just going to read the first five verses. I'd like to read the whole thing, but it's kind of lengthy, so I'm going to read the first five. "Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee."
Amen.
Who is speaking this psalm?
Yeah.
This is Jesus Christ, and this is him on that tree.
Yes,
just as we have read in Psalm 22. This is Jesus Christ speaking. And I will have a little bit more on that a little later. That this is Jesus Christ speaking. I want to show with all this that what the "it" is that is spoken of here in this account in John 19 is the salvation of sinners. Everything that is needed for salvation, that is the "it" that Jesus Christ came to accomplish. So in short, it is salvation. So I said accomplish. What else do we have here that will let us know of accomplishment? Is, number two. We know this word "is" denotes existence or state of being. We have in the English here, as I said, three words which are translated this way. That is, the one Greek word is translated into three English words from one Greek word. That word is tetelestai. This word is in the perfect tense in Greek. The perfect tense speaks of an action which has been completed in the past with results continuing into the present. It's not just past tense as something that just happened back then. This word denotes that it was something that took place back then, and the effects of it are still here today, and in fact will be there forevermore. We read in Scripture the word shall in a lot of places. He shall save his people from their sin. With God, his shalls are as good as this word is. It is something that will happen, and what will happen will be forever, even in God's shalls. God does not change, therefore what he purposed from before the foundation of the world is as good as if it was already done. But God in his wise design decreed that God had to become a man. He had to be of mankind, meaning specifically this: Jesus Christ was a male, and he meant to be and had to be according to his word. He had to accomplish this not just in his mind, not just in eternity, but he had to come down into time, of which God is not a creature of time. He is God eternal. Yet he came down and performed that for which he willed to accomplish. And because of this, we have this word is used in this sentence. God, who is eternal, came down into time. Everything that he willed to accomplish here is. That means whatever was done then, and it is still done today. It is such a small word, but the impact of the doctrine this small word speaks is absolutely profound. Isaiah 63:9 says, "In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bare them, and carried them all the days of old." Jesus Christ is. That meaning, he has always been, he is now, and he shall forever be. Him being the Christ, and he has always been the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and he will always be the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Yet there are some who speak of wanting to do something for God. What does this eternal God need? What are you going to do for an eternal, holy, wise God with your finite, sinful, totally corrupt self? Nothing. We are told all we are to do is to believe him. But we have one more word, and we have to take these three words all together since they are one word in the Greek. This word finished, as we have said, is the word tetelestai. The word means paid in full.
Amen.
What is paid in full? Sin and sins. Jesus Christ has totally and completely paid in full that for which I owe to God, that for which you owe to God if you are in him. This brings about some things being union together. We read in Psalm 85:10, it says, "Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other." This is one of those things that have been finished. At this time, what Christ was doing is that time where we read in Zechariah 13:7, where it says, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones." That time where Walter spoke of here recently, where in wrath, God remembers mercy. Habakkuk 3:2. This Jesus Christ did for those he loved from before the foundation of the world, those who at one time were spitting in the face of God just like some of these did. He went through all of this for them. Zechariah 13:6 says, And one shall say to him, what are these wounds in thy hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Although we are not seeking God's face, Jesus Christ calls us friends even when we were yet enemies of God. Christ died for the ungodly.
Amen.
So what was finished here? Redemption. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He has bought us back. That is, he paid the price in full. That price said here is being made a curse for us. So God the Father just causes Jesus Christ to be a curse? God Almighty himself just makes himself a curse, even though he was perfect in everything he did and everything he thought? But God does not have unjust weights. He does not condemn anyone who is not actually guilty. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. He did this for this one reason, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Amen.
We are confirmed this in other scriptures. Mark 15:28 says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. What Jesus Christ did was to save his people from their sin.
Amen.
Everything spoken of in the Old Testament pointed to Jesus Christ and the work he would accomplish. He did not come to try to accomplish something.
That's right.
He did not come to partially do something.
Exactly.
He came to completely fulfill what was needed for the salvation of sinners.
Amen.
He came to pay in full. What else is left to pay if it's paid in full?
That's right.
I don't know anyone who pays their car off and still wants to keep making payments to it after it's done. If there's anyone that wants to do that, I have a couple of cars if you want to buy them. When Christ was sent forth to do the will of the Father, it was for the complete and utter salvation of sinners. There's nothing left to do for salvation. When he says it is finished, then it is. Isaiah 62:11 says, behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him.
Yes.
Jesus Christ is our salvation. It is said here in Isaiah that thy salvation cometh.
Mm-hmm.
He has come.
Amen.
But it also says his reward is with him and his work before him. Jesus Christ knew what was ahead of him, if you will, when he came to this earth.
Oh, yeah.
He came expressly for the intent to die on that tree for the salvation of many. Not all, but many. This he accomplished. What was the price that had to be paid? Blood or death. But it's not just any blood. It had to be the blood of God, for no other blood would do. There would be no other sweet-smelling savor in the nostrils of God but God himself. In this account, we see the counsel of men were accomplished. What men willed to do was accomplished in these accounts. And the counsel of God was accomplished. They said, crucify him, even though he was innocent of everything they said about him. But what they wanted was accomplished. But this only because it was the counsel of God, the will of God that this was to be done. In Acts 4:26-28, we read, the kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against this holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done.
Amen.
Had this not been the will of God, it would have not happened.
Exactly.
But it was his will, and although men meant it for evil, they meant to murder Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But God meant it for good, to the salvation of sinners. They hated Christ, just like I hated Christ before he forced me to himself. I said forced me to himself. I was saying the same things these Jews and Gentiles were saying. If that is who God is, I don't want a God like that. I was, in effect, saying, I will not have this man reign over me. But I thank God that me staying there in that place of hatred to God was not his will. So he overruled my will to do his will. And when he did, I began to see the graciousness of God Almighty in this. It is finished. Oh, what grace and mercy. I did the same thing that everyone else here did in this passage. I did this in my heart. I hated the Lord of glory who went through all of this for me, and he did it willingly. Now, I want to go back just a minute to mention a passage that I covered, Psalm 69. We read it as Jesus Christ speaking these things, and that is true. But this is also me saying this. It is also all those for whom he died saying these things. And if you would, turn with me to Galatians 2. Galatians 2. Galatians 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Amen. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I was not in the hall of Pilate. I was not getting lashing on my body. I was not nailed in my hands and in my feet, nailing me to the tree until I died. Yet this scripture says, I was. Can we at all understand this? I cannot. But by his grace may he enable me to believe it with all my heart. It is finished is a profound doctrine, a profound theology, a profound soteriology, whatever you want to call it. But the profoundness I am not told to understand, because there is no way I can enter into that fully and completely, because I see it through a glass darkly.